One can never stray too far from one's personal dictates, regardless of what may confront us. At least that's my belief, that's my experience. No matter what. But it has to be true to that tendency. It has to be a strong character, someone that doesn't just sway down the commoner's path. That's my belief. For instance, values are often mistaken for thoughts of perceptions rather than conceptions and inceptions. As it is often used by ordinary people as a common dating term. For instance, I value men and I value women and things like that. This usually border on merely peripheral means to peripheral ends. Nevertheless, perceptions of status rather than potentials for deeply intimated are divine. Relativistic modes. That is, my search for a mate is never merely peripheral, but that which I incur as an infinite reach for my love to further intimate and make stronger. Like a work forever in progress as a union of consciousness. I know this may sound dreamlike. Or seemingly utopian or idealistic. But who am I to say this woman who has been celibate going on 10 years now? What to say but that I have outgrown the merely peripheral. It does beseech me as a weakness for my eyes, I must confess. But where character may know its value, what is value for character, I stop. I must reinvest strength for strength so I may enrich a life as I want mine to be enriched. This is not easy to come by. But yet, I won't suffer for less. I have stopped and suffered for so long. So my what may be known where I must receive what for what. That's hard as well. I have rested to reinvigorate my purpose in mating, as I will rather have it not at all than have it as a commoner's fate. Here are some of Schopenhauer's words on fate. Human of any worth or value should come to see that they are in the hands of fate and gratefully submit to be molded by its teachings. They recognize that the fruit of life is experience and not happiness. They become accustomed and content to exchange hope for insight. And in the end, they can say, with Petra, that all they care for is to learn. It may even be that they, to some extent, still follow their old wishes and aims, trifling with them, as it were, for the sake of appearances, all the while really and seriously looking for nothing but instruction, a process which lends them an air of genius, a trait of something contemplative and sublime. As in water, a nature and science enthusiast, I am unabashedly intertwined with the part of logical and meaningful connections between words, events, time, facts, faces, phenomena, and such. And yet I am an introvert, undeniably. I would do this Even when I don't know I'm doing it, I have trained my mind and invested my life in suffering as such. For instance, this authorial mind incarnated with me for it. Such is my fate. I have accepted it. Connections in natural science cannot be made if work is not done on the part of consciousness. It is never so easily achieved. It is something I hardwire my capable mind for, even in the midst of prejudicial and toxic doubt. And I have too much of those. But I yet invite this into my life. There is no doubt about that for me. I must do my own work to hold on to my consciousness. And every which way I strive to acquire and hold on to the sharpest truth without which my knowledge and wisdom cannot own the necessary connections it must have to thrive, optimize, to progress as a potent work of nature molding towards and into a reckoning. I discovered connections I could have merely imagined possible. Connections I must have are constant reinvestments in the discovery pathways for natural patterns in essence, yet to be discovered. Here are some words of Schopenhauer on connections, events, and time phases. Again, just as the traveler on reaching a height gets a connected view over the road he has taken, with its many turns and windings, so it is only when we have completed a period in our life or approached the end of it altogether that we recognize the true connection between all our actions. What it is we have achieved, what work we have done. It is only then that we see the precise chain of cause and effect and the exact value of all our efforts. For as long as we are actually engaged in the work of life, we always act in accordance with the nature of our character, under the influence of motive, and within the limits of our capacity. In a word, from beginning to end, under a law of necessity, at every moment we do just what appears to us right and proper. It is only afterwards, when we come to look back at the whole course of our life and its general result, that we see the why and wherefore of it all. Thank you for being here with EG Logics. Don't forget to support the free Books for Life course. So very worth it. Thank you.